Right, when you finish reading the notices, Judy, I'll start. Everybody got their Bibles ready and open? Well done. Oh, I love to hear that. Book and a pen. That says, God, I'm ready. I'm going to write something down that you speak to me today. Yeah. Yeah. So, Jim Dick, in his book, Soul Food, he quotes a little poem, and this is what it says. The poem says this. One ship drives east and another drives west with the safe sail... I've ruined it already, haven't I? Okay. One ship drives east and another drives west with the self-same wind that blows. It is the set of the sails and not the gales which tell us the way to go. Did you understand that? Okay. Quite interesting. I didn't know the weather was going to be like this today. And so that little poem is about the gales. And it's about... So did you know that by adjusting his sails, I haven't given you the Bible verse yet. So a sailor can make any wind, even a contrary one, work for him and take him in the direction he wants to go. Did you know that? Yeah. You probably did. Yeah, of course you were a sailor. So the title of my sermon today is The Set of the Sails. So the way that you point your sails will determine which way you go. And we're going to focus our thoughts on a man in the Bible called Enoch. And there's actually only 7 verses about this man in the whole Bible. And yet he is well known for one thing. If you know the word, if you know the name Enoch, you will probably know the one thing about him is that he walked with God. That is the well-known fact about Enoch. That's a really great epitaph, isn't it, to have on your tombstone. He walked with God. The thing about this man was, though, he never had a tombstone. He never had a tomb because he never died. Because God just came along and took him. Imagine that. In fact, there's only 2 people in the Bible that happened to. Elijah was one and Enoch was the other. They never died. God just took them. So Enoch lived in a very, very wicked and sinful era. Let's just read about that. This is a little bit of background about Enoch, really. So Genesis chapter 6. Genesis is the first book in the Bible. Chapter 6. Pages are new, aren't they? Right. Genesis chapter 6 and verses 5 to 7, and it says this. The Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become, and that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the time. And the Lord was grieved that he had made man on the earth, and his heart was filled with pain. And so the Lord said, I will wipe mankind, whom I have created, from the face of the earth, men and animals and creatures that move along the ground and birds of the air, for I am grieved that I have made them. And then if we go to verse 11, it says this. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight, and it was full of violence. And God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all the people on earth had corrupted their ways. So Enoch lived in a very, very wicked and sinful era. And it was actually during the days of Noah that he lived. So we're going to read the verses about him now, and they are found in chapter 5 of Genesis and verse 21. Okay, and this is what it says. When Enoch had lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. And after he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked with God for 300 years, and he had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enoch lived 365 years. Enoch walked with God, and then he was no more because God took him away. So they are a few verses about Enoch there. And the other place that we read about Enoch is in Hebrews chapter 11. So let's turn over into the New Testament. So Hebrews is like before James. After Philemon. It's not an easy one to find. Yeah, sometimes it's easier to look it up in the front, isn't it? Oh, you're just going to read it there, right. Okay, so Hebrews 11 says this about Enoch. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. So they are the verses there. There's one more verse that we're going to look at in a minute, but they are the main verses about Enoch. And what a fantastic verse it is there in chapter 11 of Hebrews to be written about him. Enoch was commended as one who pleased God. And so in the midst of wickedness, sin and corruption, here was a man who was standing out, who and he wasn't blending in with society. While other people were living for themselves and for the world, actually this man, Enoch, was living for God. It's all right, you don't need to get it now. It's fine. It's fine. Yeah, it's fine. I'll show you afterwards. Okay, so Enoch lived his life to please God. But he hadn't always done that. And it's very interesting. If we go back to Genesis chapter 5, we're moving about a bit in the Bible today. Genesis 5 in the beginning, first book in the Bible. It's very interesting to see that actually Enoch had not always walked with God. It says in verse 21, when Enoch had lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. So it says when he lived, when Enoch had lived 65 years. But then it goes on to say in verse 22, that after he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked with God. Okay, so that's the points I want to make. So he lived, but then he walked with God. So something happened in Enoch's life that changed something in his life. Before he had a son, and it all happened at the birth of his son, after he had a son, when he became a dad, things changed for him. He started to walk with God. But something happened at the birth of his son, and we're not told exactly what happened, but clearly his heart was changed for some reason. And I wish we were told how it all happened and why, but we're not. The only clue is in the book of Jude, which we're going to look at in a minute, and also in the name of his son, Methuselah. Does anybody know what Methuselah means? No, I didn't know either until I studied it up. Well, his name means, when he is dead, it shall come. That's a nice name, isn't it? When he is dead, it shall come. So he named his son that, Methuselah. And that's quite a funny thing, isn't it? So what does it mean when what shall come? But the clue is in his genealogy, because Methuselah was the father of Lamech, and Lamech was the father of Noah. And what was the significant thing that happened in the days of Noah? There was the flood, there was the great flood. And so Noah came from Methuselah. And what happened was, when Methuselah was 969 years old, he died. And the year that he died in was the year of the flood. And so Enoch had named his son Methuselah, which means when he is dead, it shall come. So something happened. God actually spoke into Enoch's life when his son was born. And in Genesis chapter C, why did the flood come? It was because of all the wickedness and all of the sin and all of the corruption in the world. And God said to Noah, I'm going to put an end to all of this. And it actually happened in the year that Methuselah died. So something happened to Enoch that changed the way he lived. He received something from God that caused him to name his son this and to want to walk with him for the rest of his life. Something that changed his worldview. And basically it was that God spoke into his life and gave him a revelation. And God spoke to him and he was convicted about the way he was living and he changed. And God told him that judgment was going to fall on the nation. Let's turn to Jude. This is the book just before the last book in the Bible, Revelation. So Revelation is the last book in the Bible. The book before that is Jude. It's only one page. Yeah, that's it. And this is the only other verse that we read of Enoch in the Bible. So Jude was writing a letter to a church and he started to write to them. And he was really concerned because there was false teachers coming into the church. Let me just read it. Jude chapter and verse 3, it says, "Dear friends, although I was very eager to write to you about the salvation we share, I felt I had to write and urge you to contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted to the saints. For certain men whose condemnation was written about long ago have secretly slipped in among you, and they are godless men." So Jude is writing to this church and he's saying there's people among you who are godless people. And then he says about this man Enoch in verse 14, and he says this, "Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men. See, the Lord is coming with thousands upon thousands of his holy ones to judge everyone and to convict all the ungodly of all the ungodly acts they have done in the ungodly way and of all the harsh words ungodly sinners have spoken against him." So what happened was, at the time that Enoch had his son, God spoke into his life and gave him a prophetic word. And God said to him, "I am going to judge this world because of the sin." And when Enoch received that, he felt convicted about the way he was living. And he changed and he decided, "I'm going to walk with God from now on." So that really is the background to Enoch walking with God. He didn't walk with God. But then he did walk with God because a revelation came into his life. God spoke into his life and he felt, "I need to get right with God." And when we were reading in Hebrews, you know, Hebrews is an amazing chapter in the Bible because it has lots of different characters in the Bible and it's like the Hall of Fame. And we read about people in there who went through terrible times in their lives. And it's interesting that a lot of the people in Hebrews talks about that they're famous for things like walking through fire or sleeping with unharmed with ant lions or seeing the dead brought back to life. But when they talk about Enoch in Hebrews, it simply says that it's not mentioned any of the great things that he did. It just simply says that Enoch walked with God. And that's what we're called to do as Christians. And Enoch didn't live in perfect condition, he lived in a sinful world. But in that world, Enoch walked with God. And that is what we are called to do. We are called to walk with God. And I just want us to think about Enoch's walk for a few minutes. And these are the things I want to say, okay? Enoch's walk with God had a start. He didn't just drift into a new life. It wasn't something God or anyone else did for him. He made a definite decision, a personal choice, to begin to walk with God. No one else could do that for him. He had to do it himself. And if we want to walk with God through this life, which is what he wants to do with us, he wants to walk through life with us, he wants to be our closest friend, we have to make a decision that that's what I want to do. I want to walk with God. I most certainly want to walk with God, and I do walk with God, and a lot of us do. And there's nothing like it, is there? you know, is our best friend. He's the one who sits closer than a brother. And walking with God is the most amazing thing because he's constantly with us. But we have to decide, and there's a little verse in the Bible and it says this, here I am standing at the door and I'm knocking. And basically he's saying, I want to come into your life. I want to walk with you. I want to do life with you. I want to come and like sit in your house and eat a meal with you. I want to be your friend. And I want you to walk with me. And the thing is, right, we have to open the door to God. It's our choice. That's what Enoch did. You know, he felt God speak to him. He felt convicted the way he was living the wrong way. He opened the door to God and he began to walk with him. And that's what he wants to do with every one of us. The other thing about his walk was that it was really genuine. You know, Enoch lived for another 300 years. But his faith was genuine. You know, things didn't push him off course. Difficulties didn't sway him. He trusted God to the end of his days. He was committed to his walk. And if we're Christians, you know, we need to be committed to our walk with God. He invested in his walk. He grew closer to God on this walk, and he followed through on his commitment to God through the highs and lows of life. It tells us in that verse we read in Hebrews that he was commended as someone who pleased God. So Enoch lived his life for God to please God. And, you know, like we were saying, through the highs and lows, through the different seasons in his life, his faith was proved genuine. His faith didn't let him down. His faith in God didn't let him down. Thirdly, his walk was consistent. You know, a walk is a steady pace, isn't it? It was a reliable thing. It wasn't a 100-metre dash and that was it. It carried on throughout his life. It wasn't a hop, skip or a jump. He wasn't in a rush. He didn't come off track. He didn't allow himself to be pulled off course. He was consistent in walking with God every day. And his walk carried a reward. Enoch didn't die because God took him to be with him. And do you know what? That's our reward, isn't it? That one day, the day we die, or maybe if we don't die before he comes, then we are taken up to be with God forever, to live with him in his home. Enoch walked with God, and we have the privilege of doing the same. Actually, what I want to say really is, I more or less said it, to be honest, today. I'm not preaching for very long today. But what I want to say is, we were saying last week, you know, how sometimes people fall away from the faith because of lots of different reasons. That's how it is. But the fantastic truth is, isn't it, that there's always a way back to God. You know, we're not cast off forever. There is a way back. You know, the father of the prodigal son, he was always looking out for him every day for his son to come home, and finally he saw him on the horizon and he ran towards him with his arms open wide. And this is my final little thought, really, that Enoch walked with God through every season of life. He set his sails to catch the wind of the Spirit. And there's no need for our walk with God to be interrupted. And we need to, whatever we're going through in life, we need to set our sails, or like the eagle, you know, we need to position our wings so that we fly in God rather than fall away from God. And I just want us to finish this morning by thinking about the fact that seasons are a part of our life and that we walk with God through them all. Whatever happens to us, good and bad, sunshine and rain, we need to be walking with God. And there's a black preacher called Robert Madu, and he says, the art of living well is to trust God in the season that we're in. So I just want to end today, really, by us listening to this guy. It's about 2 or 3 minutes. Listen to what he has to say about the seasons that we go through in life. And seasons can, you know, are good and bad. But we need to learn to set our sails so that we're rising nearer to God through the things that we go through in life, rather than kind of like moving away from him. So please, could you just switch the lights off, Lynn, please, the main ones. You can leave the side ones on, and I'll just see if this little video clip is going to work. So hopefully it's starting at the right place.
Can you turn it up, please, Christian? No matter what season I'm in.
Turn it up a bit more.
Because seasons come and go. God's word shall stand forever. I said seasons come and go, but God's word shall stand forever. God is looking for some believers who say, God, I'm not going to allow this season to dictate my faith, but my faith is going to dictate every single season. I'm going to hold on to your word. You know, the challenge of life is to just trust them no matter the season. That's the art of living life well. Say, God, I trust you no matter the season. But isn't that hard to do? Because everybody hates the season that they're in. Have you noticed that? It's like a human disposition. We always long for another season instead of trusting God for the season that we're in. Young people want to be old.
So sick of you telling me what to do. I can't wait till I get out of this house. I'm going to do whatever I want to do. I'm so sick of you always being the boss of me. I ain't 13. I'm 13 and a half.
Longing to be old. Old people want to be young. Come on, somebody. You don't see anybody saying, I'm 50 and a half. Longing for another season. Never forget, I was preaching at a church on the West Coast, and I mean, there was so much plastic surgery on this one lady, which is fine. If you want to do it, do you, boo-boo. But she was laughing before I even told the joke. Her face was just... I thought to myself, she's longing for a season. It's not going to come back to you. Just age gracefully. But isn't it funny? We always want another season. Single people can't stand to be single. I'm so sick of being by myself every night by myself. Lord, when are you going to give me a husband or a wife? I'm going to lose my mind if you don't give me a husband or a wife. Married people, every minute, every day, they are right there. If I could just get a moment to myself, God, I'm going to lose my mind if you don't just make him or her disappear just for 1 second. Everybody complains about the season they're in. Maybe the art of living life well, say, God, I trust you no matter the season. You know, seasons are interesting, and I promise I'm done. I love getting to see all four of the seasons. You know, summer is a great season. Oh, I love summer. The sun is out. I get to work on my tan. I love summer. Summer is a great season. Barbecuing, swimming. But I'm from Dallas, and y'all get a little bit of it here in Oklahoma. When you're in that triple-digit heat in the summer, as amazing as summer is, I'm telling you, when that thermometer is just saying hell, and that's how hot it is, and your car has been in that triple-digit heat inside of a garage, and when you open that door and touch that steering wheel, woo, it will make you speak in a tongue that needs no interpretation. The summer is great. It's a great season. I love spring. Spring is a great season. We're in spring right now. All the flowers in spring are amazing. Some of them are so beautiful, hear me, they'll take your breath away. Then again, it's not much breath to be taken away, because now your allergies are flaring up and you're sneezing all over the place. But even with the sneezing, it's a great season. Winter, beautiful season. Oh, it's as if God has looked over the panoply of creation and leaned over the balcony of heaven and covered all of the earth with a white snuggie. Winter is a beautiful season. Looks good. Winter looks good. Looks good. It doesn't feel good, but it looks good. Fall, great season. To see the leaves in their kaleidoscope of colors, as if Picasso or Leonardo da Vinci has painted each one with intricate detail. Then again, those leaves don't look beautiful when they're falling in your yard. Come on, and you got to get out there and rake them and put them in a bag. They're not too beautiful then. What are you saying, Robert? I'm saying every season has its beauty and its burden, and it is all contingent upon your perspective. And if we could keep our focus and our perspective on Jesus and say, God, I'm going to hold on to your word that will never change, that will never be moved. I'm going to stand on your promise that you gave me. I know that seasons come and go, but your word shall stand forever. I'm not going to allow this difficult season to dictate my faith. My faith is going to speak to every season. I'm going to trust you no matter the season. So God, that means if it's raining, I'll praise you with an umbrella. If it's cold, I'll praise you in my coat. if it's hot, I'll praise you with a bathing suit. But no matter the circumstance, I will lift up my voice and give you glory and honor and praise, because your word is everlasting. Your word shall stand forever, and I'm going to trust you. Come on, somebody, give him some praise in this place today. If you're going to trust him no matter the season, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. Holy Spirit, I thank you for the power that is in your word. God, thank you for the formula for next level living. God, we're going to trust you no matter the season. Seasons come and go, but your word shall stand forever. As we trust you in the middle of the season, you'll give us strength for every single day. And God, as we trust you every day, we'll look back over our life and see we had great years. Not because everything was good and everything was perfect, but because you are good and you are perfect. And our hope and our trust is in no one else but you. Love you, Jesus. Have your way today. Amen.
Amen. I hope that was a bit of inspiration to you. Enoch walked with God through every season in his life. Come rain, come shine, he walked with God, and he would have soared on the heights with God. And just, you know, I think what a great thought, isn't it? Through every season, God is with us. So let's pray. Thank you tonight, Lord Jesus, today, Lord Jesus, that you are with us through every season in our lives, and we can walk with you through everything that we go through. Thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you because the storms come, the storms go, and yet we can hold on to you, our rock, our cornerstone. Thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Amen.